The Writers Dossier Podcast is a proud member of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Graney, and this is my Writers Dossier.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
Hey, everyone. Jeff Circle here. I'm excited to be joined today by the New York Times number one best-selling author, Mark Graney. Mark, thanks for joining the Writer's Dossier today, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you again, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, so first off, I want to say thank you for what you do for the writer's community, specifically the way you get out there and you interact with people, you see people, you talk to them. We saw each other at a special dinner when we were in New Orleans at BoucherCon together. It's one that George Easter helps put together. And you were there with your wife and Brad Taylor's on one side, Jack Stewart's there, Brad Morrison's next to me. And I'm just looking at my wife. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but look, it's Greeny. And so thanks for getting out there and doing what you do and supporting the community the way you do.
Yeah, no, I enjoy doing it. I love going to Thriller Fest in New York, and I like going to BoucherCon, you know, as many times as I can. I'll be there in Calgary this year. So awesome. That's a fun part of the job. It always tends to happen right when you're like at your busiest. And so you spend a lot of time just going like, oh my God, this is the worst time. And then once you get there, you have the best time and everything works out in the end. So
it's always worth it. It's always great to see you. So we're here today to talk about the latest Court Gentry book, The Gray Man, The Hard Line. So, all right, let's just get right to it here. Lee Child says, I love The Gray Man. Steve Barry says, Mark Graney reigns as one of the recognized masters of action and adventure. And finally, quote, Mark Graney is really cool, the folks at the Writer's Dossier. So 15 Gray Man novels. Folks out there, if you're watching on YouTube or listening, get this straight right off the bat here. This is a great entry point to get into The Gray Man and see what's going on with Court Gentry and for you longtime followers, Hightower. Hightower's back. Yeah. So don't miss this. This is fantastic. So Mark, just let everybody know, we keep it short here on the Writer's Dossier, 15, 20 minutes in and out, so you have time to get out there and do what you're doing. Tell us what Court Gentry is up to now in your 15th Gray Man.
Well, yeah, as you said, it's number 15. You know, for me, the most important thing is that every book is different, but I do like that there's the ability for them to stand on their own two feet, and so that's what we have here. In this book, you have your hero, Court Gentry. If you haven't read any of the other books, he's a former CIA officer, and now he's working for an off-the-books intelligence shop called the Ghost Town, and Ghost Town is doing jobs for the deputy director of operations, and somehow, basically, all 18 of the U.S. intelligence agencies have been infiltrated by this kind of shadowy force. And Court and his team have been sort of tasked with digging into that. But at the same time, the father of a man that Court killed for, you know, reasons that made sense in an earlier book has come looking for him. And so this guy is a very legendary Northern Irish assassin who has the means and the capability and absolutely the will to come after Court. So this book, I think, is probably my most like layered and textured of all my novels, because it has a lot to do with family. It has a lot to do with sort of the timelines of the characters' lives and the histories. And I think it's kind of a, you know, with having all the action that all the books have, it also has a whole lot of other story layered into it.
And I love that. He's got things coming at him from all angles, both high concept things with all the 18 intelligence agencies and some personal stuff. And you make a real personal connection here with the hard line being blood of the family. That's the line you don't cross, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I initially pitched this book to my editor, like every year we talk about what the book's going to be about. But for probably 5 years, I've always said I want there to be a story where some random thing that happens in our earlier book kind of comes back to haunt Court. And that doesn't have to be the whole plot of the story, but it has to be like, that was sort of the thing that I grabbed onto, and I said, this is what I really want to lean into in the story. And so the kind of the bloodlines of the characters and how, you know, they question whether or not the people who do what they do are sort of destined to go down that same road.
I love it. This sounds like a really cool book. All right. While you were writing that first Gray Man book, and say you could have looked in the future and seen the kind of character that Court Gentry is today, what would you have thought back then? Like, Court Gentry is going to be what?
Yeah. You know, that's a great question, but pondering it, I think that I would have said when I was writing that first book that every one of the books was going to have this exact same flavor where he doesn't make allegiances and he's like this lone assassin, kind of a Jack Reacher type of character, which obviously works fantastic in the Jack Reacher world. But it has over time, I've put characters in there and then I've wanted to see those characters again, or I've wanted to see how my hero kind of grows and changes along the way. So me in 2007 that wrote the first book, it came out in 09, but I wrote it in 07, probably would not have imagined that the book would have this, you know, level of depth and breadth as well. But I think that it's the natural path, the way that it came out.
Is Court, can you tell people, would you say Court is better, smoother now, smarter, faster, or is he a little more rough around the edges? Like, you know, some top tier thriller writers out there, their characters age. What's going on with Court? Like, give people an idea of what they can expect.
Yeah, so I haven't aged him like, Gabriel Allon, if you've read, and I'm sure you read the Daniel Silva book.
Daniel Silva,
which are brilliant, brilliant. They couldn't be better. Stephen Hunter, you know, some characters, I mean, some writers do age their characters. Court has sort of, my joke is like, just like me, we've been 37 years old for 20 something years.
yes, absolutely.
Because the type of stories I want to tell, involve a lot of kinetic stuff, and he would have aged out of that. If I didn't do that. But yeah. I do think character-wise, I initially wrote him a little bit very reserved and socially sort of, made sense for that character. But you really can't write 150,000 word books and 15 of them without the character having, the ability to interact with others and grow and learn. That is morphed along the way for sure.
We are joined here today by number one bestselling author, New York Times, Mark Greaney, author of The Hardline, out February 17th. Folks, the Washington Post says that Mark Greaney is the Tom Cruise of thriller writers. Dude, that's pretty awesome. I mean, you've flown in a fighter jet. You've done all kinds of crazy things. What do you think about being compared to the Tom Cruise of thriller writers? That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, first you have to explain what they're talking about. But yeah, I think, yeah, no, I mean, I like to do a lot of as much research as I can. I came into this as a huge fan of these novels, but I'm not some, former this or former that. It's some, super secret ninja or anything. I just came in as a writer and I wanted to learn as much as I could. So I took firearms classes. I took scuba classes. I've been on destroyers. Right now, if you look at my very unappealing backdrop, I'm in a kind of a hotel in Innsbruck, Austria. I've been in the Tyrolean Alps for the last week researching next year's Gray Man book and getting up on the mountains and stuff. And so, I do as much of that as I can. I really like to do that. I think it informs the writing. I don't ever want to do it to be performative or anything like that. I've never gotten as good at any of these vocations as the character I write about, but I like to be able to, understand those things. So that, I think that's what the Post is talking about there.
So folks, by the time this is aired, Mark Greaney will be a ghost, will not be at the semi-undisclosed location, but we appreciate the depth and the hard work and the seriousness that you put into your research. I remember a few years ago, we were talking in some hotel and you were saying you were on your way to Africa to do some diving. So that's fantastic. It pays off, folks. So yeah, if you are watching on YouTube here, you'll see Mark's wonderful backdrop. All right, Mark, I got to ask this, anyone who hasn't seen the Gray Man movie on Amazon Prime, they're missing out. What's your next TV or film feature? What you got going on there?
I don't really know. There's things in the works, but I had things in the works for 13 years before anything happened the first time. So there's nothing impending, but I do hope that there's stuff out there. I'm going to write something later on this year that's not part of the Gray Man series. And I have high hopes for that as well. So it's kind of fun to imagine things in that world, but it's also, you got to keep your nose to the ground and crank out your 500 page books as fast as you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Side note, I can help you with that. Okay. With all the firearms training that you've done, you mentioned all the great things crazy things. Do you have any friends or family who look at you and just say, come on, Greeny, give it a rest already?
Yeah, I mean, my wife always gets nervous when I do things. It's kind of better to ask for forgiveness than permission. The people in my world don't really care that I'm a writer. It's the excitement of that is not really part of my everyday life. But, you know, definitely, you know, my wife worries about me doing things that, you know, it's actually even scuba diving. She's very much afraid of sharks. And every time, you know, I've got like 4 scuba trips planned this year, and she's always sending me articles. Anytime anyone in the world is attacked by a shark, I get to know all the details about it. So, you know, it's just a small part of what I do.
You walk into the to the back door from your riding little nook back there, and you're all strapped up. She's like, "Would you please put a gun down for a second?"
Yeah, that's just, I do carry a gun. And you know, like, she took me to the airport for this trip, and then I texted her from the airport. I was, "Oh yeah, there's a SIG under the, you know, there's a SIG in the car." And she's like, "Which safe do you want me to put it in?" I'm like, "Well, just put it in the little safe by the bed." So now you've got 2. So.
My man. All right. What did you learn most about the craft of writing from your time doing Tom Clancy books? You mentioned earlier about, you know, some of the things you've written for so many years, but what did you learn back then? The one thing that really stands out.
I think it's obvious from my writing. So I couldn't deny it, even if I wanted to. I began writing bigger books. The first 3 Gray Man books were all written before I started working with Tom Clancy. And then the 4th Gray Man book, which was called Dead Eye, and the, you know, the 10 after that are all just bigger, meatier novels. And I think working on those first 3 Clancy books with Tom really kind of let me think, like, you can go down this side alley, you can go down this side alley, you can have this many action scenes and this many, you know, scenes that are not necessarily action but have a lot of tension. So I really think that working with Clancy was very, very huge in my development, and fortunately I've been successful at it. So you know, props to him for that.
How much have you considered going back to that franchise? Breaking news.
I always missed it. And I knew when I left, I was like, this is a train that's going to keep on moving, and I'm going to want to get back on sometime. But the guys who've done it have done a great job. I know everybody that's written Clancy books since then, and there's been a few, and they're all really good guys and good writers. And I think a big legacy character like that needs a shot in the arm of fresh blood and a fresh take every few years. I did 7 in 6 years, and I knew that I had nothing else to say at that point. I was like, you know, a couple of years down the road, right, I'm going to have a great idea that's exactly a Jack Ryan story. And of course I did, but you know, time moves on.
Time moves on. If you had never been asked to write with Clancy, and if you had never created Court Gentry and Gray Man, what do you think you would have ended up doing for a living?
You know, I worked in international sales and marketing pretty much my whole career. And so I worked in a medical device company, and I probably would have stayed there. I was writing because I really loved to. I was frustrated I didn't get published forever, you know, so I'm not going to pretend like I was just, you know, the big smile on my face while I was, you know, writing with a plume every day. It wasn't like that. I wanted to be published. But at the same time, it was, you know, if I had told myself if I never got published, I would continue to think about stories and develop stories and try and get everything a little better than last year's book or, you know, the last thing I did. So I think I would still have it as a hobby to this day. I know I would. And I would probably just, you know, continue on in my day job as I was doing before.
But you wouldn't have been able to have Jack Stewart driving that airplane with you in the back seat.
No. Never would have gotten an F-18 working in the medical device field. I don't believe it.
Hey, besides writing, what other creative thing would you be doing for a living? I'm guessing Beale Street Blues singer down there in Memphis. Yeah.
You know, I played drums. Helpful. Yeah. Now I used to play drums, but I was like the hard rock. I was like 80s, you know, like long hair and makeup and all that. there are 3 pictures to prove it that my stepkids love to pull out. But yeah, no, I mean, I like music, but you know, I'd kind of give it up on that long before I even started writing.
Our dossier investigative staff's got to get on a plane and head down to Memphis, get some of those old grainy black and whites. Hey, Tom. Okay, here's something for you.
By the way, what's not black and white? I'm not that old. It's like a tintype. it's not like Civil War photography, but
Civil War. Mark Greene with no smile, just like all right. Yeah. Hey, what's the biggest, and the last question here before we wrap things up, what's the biggest thing about publishing today that you would like to see different? And I have something for you. Tom Colgan, president of everything, or publicist who have to go up in a fighter jet to help them understand how thrilling your books are.
I would love for my publicist to go to get an F-18. I think he'd love that. Tom, as president of everything, well, that would work for me because he's like Tom's one of my best friends. So I think that would benefit. I could see Tom going like, no, I can't be bothered, which is exactly what I would be like too. I think more Tom Colgan is probably the answer, yeah.
And the Tom Colgan wing of the back shed of Greeny's writing empire back in the back. Yeah, Tom's a great dude. Hey, look, how do we get a hold of you? How are people, website? What do you dig most?
Well, I'm on most all the social media platforms, for better or worse. And I do have my own website. It is markgraneybooks.com. It's G-R-E-A-N-E-Y books.com. And yeah, you can find everything there. It should be up to date.
Hey, do you have a title for what you're working on yet?
The working title is The Gauntlet, but that could change 16 times between now and publication. So I really don't know. I write that down and then I try and think of something better for the next, 8 months. That's usually how it works. Right.
Well, hey, I know the route between Vicenza and Stuttgart, Germany, and it goes right through Innsbruck. So if you need any help over there, give me a call. Dossier will deploy their forces to give you hands. Mark, thanks for joining us all the way from Innsbruck, Austria. Folks, get this book. Just order it now. Comes out February 17th at The Hard Line. You don't want to miss this. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to see you again.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Enjoyed it.
The Writer's Dossier is brought to you by Myopic Duplicity, a crime thriller anthology from Leonardo Audio that asks, do the ends ever justify the means? Get just a few stories in and you'll find out that sometimes the clearest vision hides the darkest lies. Myopic Duplicity is available now with hair-raising stories from award-winning author Rob Hart, Edgar winner Aaron Flanagan, Georgia Writer of the Year Christopher Swan, two-time Derringer winner C.W. Blackwell, and the amazing Matt Phillips, Mindy Carlson, C.B. Bernard, Wes Brown, Eric Beatner, Ash Clifton, Libby Cudmore, Victor Dionda, Terrence McCauley, M.E. Proctor, C. Matthew Smith, and Tony Wirt. Get Myopic Duplicity from LeonardoAudio.com or at thewritersdossier.com and find out for yourself. Do the ends ever justify the means?
The Dossier Podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.